The extraordinary world of BMs, apps and smartphones. Why do some people overcome challenges and find sources of ingenuity and innovation to develop new business ideas and build extraordinary lives for themselves, while others flounder through life, never fully using their talents or skills, existing, not living? It's always refreshing to hear success stories. I attended a networking breakfast yesterday. It was put on by our local small business development program. Two people had interesting stories to tell. One had left a lifelong career working for other people to go it alone as a professional. The other expanded her small business into new markets. I'll be writing more about their successes in a future post. Just to prove that there are business opportunities hidden in the most mundane or basic activities, I was reading in James Altucher's newsletter about a young entrepreneur who has developed a BM tracker app for smartphones. Apparently these sell for $2.99 a time. I was mystified by the term BM. Reading further, I discovered it refers to bowel movements. No, this is not an excerpt from some form of toilet humor. Enough people are interested in tracking their BMs that this app is selling well. My curiosity aroused, I searched the iTunes App Store. There are a number of these apps, some free, others at $4.99 and more. If anyone had told me that people would pay good money for an app to measure something as basic as a necessary bodily function, I would have thought them mad. While appreciating the benefits of our systems being regular, my first thought was that a simple notebook and pen would do the trick. But of course, I'm from the pre-smartphone generation, old enough to be from the pre-cell phone of any type era. Monitoring BMs is becoming an essential activity. It's being promoted by health experts. In some circles, it's practiced more than monitoring exercise schedules or daily running distances. Where will this go next? Facebook groups or G+ circles to compare BM schedules? The apps themselves monitor more than just the occurrences, their timing. They monitor other aspects of the function, too nauseatingly gross to disclose here without a warning for sensitive readers. I suspect that if I was so inclined, I could find a few blogs devoted to the subject. It just shows how important it is not to assume that our own biases are shared by others. My sons in their 30s have all sorts of baby apps on their smartphones that monitored fetal growth before birth, weight, length and other stuff after. Strange that the fathers survived quite well before the first smartphones or apps were invented, but now see the apps as essential for their own babies. My elder son has a huge range of free and paid apps on his phone. Working from home and now having a tablet as well as a desktop computer, I've removed the ability to receive emails and texts from my BlackBerry. Now it's just a somewhat large and cumbersome dumb phone. It's not as convenient to use for simple phone calls as the bottom of the range Nokia I bought in the UK for next to nothing to use as a temporary pay-as-you-go phone while visiting there. When the BlackBerry dies or my contract expires, I will gladly survive with the small and simple Nokia. Personally, I cannot understand why anyone wants to look at a website on a minuscule screen on a phone, or why anyone wants to be able to tweet or update every waking moment. But I also recognize that billions of younger people have grown up with the new technology and new ideas about being continually connected, think completely differently. To survive and prosper in the new era, we have to accept that designing a new app is more likely to create a fortune than inventing a better mousetrap. Even if we cannot see the point or need for many of these apps ourselves, our younger customers can. What about you? Are you an app addict? Tell us your thoughts.